speaking of the kids and health, at a time when just yesterday we spent quite a bit of time on this new Food and Drug Administration Act known as S-510. It has hit with a thud, and it has to do with the chain of command, if you will, of all of our produce, our meats, our vegetables, and fruits within our boundaries, this country, this nation, and how the government handles stuff that we import. And it is literally pages and pages of regulations that experts are still trying to pore over to come up with some sort of understandable guidelines for our agriculture industry right here in the state of Connecticut. One of the things we do here in the state of Connecticut, we have a very small but a very well-respected tobacco industry. And Antonio Ponvert is with me. He is with Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. And the attorney has been successful in suing the USS Smokeless Tobacco Company, I guess formerly known attorney as what? What? This is a new name for them?
The old name is U.S. Smokeless Tobacco Company.
Okay.
That's still what they're called, but they're now owned by Altria, which is the company that also owns Philip Morris.
Okay, and they're located in Richmond?
Yes.
Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, what part of the Richmond, Virginia economy is tobacco-based?
I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess it's somewhere about 95%.
Pretty big. I mean, yeah. It's all about tobacco, tobacco products and smoking, and now the different types of products that are available. Now, here in Connecticut, one of our contributions, if you will, to the industry is cigar and leaf tobacco for cigars. We don't really manufacture tobacco as we know it for cigarettes in this state, do we?
I think that's right. We don't.
Yeah. So my point being, when it comes to tobacco, it's not illegal. It's not contraband. It's subsidized. It's not good for your health. There is a movement afoot now, and I'm talking specifically about cigarettes, and I know we're going to talk about what's called, what is it, spit?
Spit tobacco.
Spit tobacco. What a nice name.
Isn't that lovely?
Honey, I'm going to run down to the street and get myself a nice little can of spit tobacco for me and my child. I'm being sarcastic, obviously. Sometimes it's hard to tell. But the issue of tobacco and its harm, cancer, secondhand smoke. Now they're even talking about thirdhand smoke, stuff that in your clothes, you take it home, you know, you lay it on the couch, and people are subject to heavens knows whatever chemicals are released in those fabrics from the many chemicals that are in tobacco. And I remember, and attorney, I'm sure you remember, those bums, those liars sitting before a congressional investigation, all of them lined up like little bobbleheads, denying that there were any chemicals. And if there were, God forbid, we don't think there are, none of them could be identified as harmful. Well, that was then,
right.
And this is now.
Well, and one of the, refer to them as the seven dwarves. There were seven CEOs of the major tobacco companies in the country. One of them was Joseph Taddeo, who was the CEO of U.S. Smokeless Tobacco Company for many years. And each one of those executives, including Mr. Taddeo, testified under oath in Congress that nicotine is not addictive and that tobacco does not harm you. That was the company's position as recently as last year during my lawsuit, that nicotine is not an addictive drug.
And none of them have been charged with lying before an official under oath congressional hearing?
I don't think they have been charged.
Do you have any idea why? Is that your next case?
I wouldn't mind it being. I mean, it really is unconscionable. I don't think anybody believes them when they say that, but I think that they have to take a position like that to defend cases like mine and other products liability cases where people have used the product and then become addicted and died.
Really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, you're lying or you're not lying.
That's right.
Nobody says, okay, you can lie because you have to.
Well, that's right. And, you know, so we settled our case. The company paid $5 million to the widow of Bobby Hill, who I represented, and to her two small children. But as with every settlement, they say we don't take any responsibility, we don't admit any guilt, we're going to pay $5 million to this family, but we didn't do anything wrong, and now we're going to continue to sell the product.
So what is your message? But first, let's go to our 42-year-old victim of this spit tobacco. He started doing this when he was 13 years old. Now, attorney, was this before the curve of the overwhelming evidence and then government intervention, if you will, and labeling of tobacco could be harmful to your health?
In part, it was. He started in 1974, which was 13 years before there were warning labels on smokeless tobacco products. There was warnings earlier on cigarettes. There was not a lot of discussion in public health circles and in regulatory circles and among consumers about the dangers of smokeless tobacco. And when Bobby started as a 13-year-old kid, nobody but the tobacco company knew, for example, that there were 29 known carcinogens in smokeless tobacco. Nobody but the tobacco company executives knew that they were manipulating nicotine levels.
And were you able to establish maybe that young Bobby Hill at 13, being a youngster, and we're all going to live forever when we're 13, thought, okay, cigarettes are bad for me, maybe pipe tobacco is bad for me, maybe cigars are bad for me, but smokeless tobacco, it sounded very unthreatening medically.
Well, that was the testimony in the case. Both his mother and father smoked cigarettes, but they didn't think smokeless tobacco was dangerous, and they bought it for him and helped him buy it.
Oh, they purchased it for him. Wow.
Yeah, and the testimony in the case from other friends of Bobby's who were 12, 13, 14 years old at the time that he was that a Skoal, a company truck would come driving through the neighborhood and handed out free samples to children.
Nice.
And there was testimony that they handed out free samples at Little League games, and there was a whole...
And this was all within the boundary of permissible law, and they weren't violating any...
No, actually, some of it was illegal, and then it became more illegal as more states outlawed sales to minors. For a long period of time, the company professed to have a policy of not marketing or selling to children. At the same time that it publicly said, we have a policy of not doing this, we found dozens and dozens and dozens of letters to children from the company sending them free cans of Skoal. So there was a real divergence between what the law said, what the company professed it was doing, and what actually was happening.
And generally, that's the way it's done. We're going to continue our discussion, 203-333-WICC. We'll talk more about that and highlight some of the things you need to know about all things tobacco-related right after Gary Nepler Driving School, Roadwatch 600 update. Yeah. All right, we're talking about a specific tobacco product with our attorney, Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter, who has been successful in appealing to a court and presenting evidence, and as a result has got a $5 million judgment against the manufacturers who, as you say, attorney, agreed to pay the fine or the judgment but did not admit to, yeah, the stuff is bad, it kills people. We don't know anything about that, but here's a $5 million check.
Correct.
Okay.
And they did that at a time when tobacco company executives are petitioning the FDA for permission to market smokeless tobacco as a safe alternative to cigarettes.
As we speak?
As we speak. So on one side of the company, they're writing a check to the widow of a man who died from using the product for $5 million. On the other side of the company, they're walking into hearings in Congress and in the FDA saying, give us permission to market this as a safe alternative to cigarettes.
And mostly to children, too. Isn't that correct? This product is targeting children?
Yes.
To get them early on the addiction bandwagon so that it carries them through however long they may live. God forbid they should contract cancer as a result of or some sort of cancer. Now, this young fellow started at 13. He died at 42.
Right.
Young age, married, two children, a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old, leaves them without a father, and his wife is now a widow. They have the money, but they don't have dad at Christmas this Christmas holiday season. But I think part of your message, if I understand it, and then we have a couple of calls, is that this is being targeted to children.
That's right. There are government numbers which have been out for a long time from HHS and from other government agencies establishing that the average age of use for smokeless tobacco is 9 years old.
9 years old.
9 years old is when children start. The evidence that we uncovered in the case was that the company had an intentional strategy for many years to market intentionally to children in order to addict them and then establish a broad user base, which would then continue on.
Customers.
Exactly.
Looking
right.
For customers. It's like Joe Camel.
Right.
They denied, and then they said, well, yeah, I guess we were.
Right.
And stopped doing that. In Fairfield, Prescott. Prescott?
Yes, Jim. I would like to ask the attorney a couple questions, please.
We're listening, sir.
Number one, what was the attorney's take out of the $5 million?
You mean, do I think it's enough?
I want to know the figure. Out of the $5 million that you won in judgment, what did you put in your pocket, your firm?
You don't like the idea of the lawsuit, I take it.
Can you answer the question?
Yeah, it is routine for lawyers who take a risk on a case like this to get one-third, and that's what we got.
So you took one-third of the $5 million?
That's correct.
So therefore, the family received two-thirds, right?
That's correct.
Or was there other expenses that the family had to pay besides your fee?
Well, there are always other expenses of litigation like this, especially...
So the family got less than two-thirds, right?
Less than two-thirds of the $5 million, that is correct.
Okay, so you got one-third in your pocket, and then...
Actually, we got less than a third because we cut part of our fee to give more to the client.
Oh,
what is your...
Kind heart, you cut part of your fee. Let me tell you something. The Landmark Tobacco case, the attorneys that were involved, they raped the public, and the judges allowed it because they're nothing more than glorified attorneys. The attorneys stuffed their pockets over those billions of dollars.
Prescott, are you a smoker?
Pardon me? No, I'm not. I only smoke medical marijuana when I live in California. And I'm waiting for the attorneys to start throwing lawsuits against the people who get sick smoking medical marijuana because it's coming in Connecticut.
Okay. Prescott, thank you for the call. I mean, all attorneys operate on the same basis. From my understanding, I was involved in an automobile accident, and I got a settlement, and, the attorney took a third. I mean, you pay a real estate agent, they get 6%. I mean, that's the rule of thumb. I don't know, other than that, how else these cases would be brought to the public and service done for those of you who need evidence that this is an issue that, particularly this one, spit tobacco, is being marketed directly to children. But, attorney, I asked you that question actually before we got on the air. And, I anticipated getting some sort of a question about, well, if people want to pick to use a product that is harmful and they know it, why would they do it? But what's significant about this case is it's directly the opposite from what I understand, that this product, this so-called, well, I guess I call it spit tobacco by name, is being marketed, A, for children, and is being coveted as something that is an alternative, something that's less harmful than tobacco or chewing tobacco, or it's being sold as an alternative to hard tobacco products.
Well, that's right, and it's when you're comparing something to smoking, which is well established to be a deadly product. It's easy to say that something is safer than that. It doesn't mean it's safe.
How many chemicals did you say it had? 29.
There's 29 known carcinogens in smokeless tobacco. It's been found by the World Health Organization to be a Class 1 human carcinogen. It's been found by the Surgeon General to be a human carcinogen. It contains polonium-210, which is an alpha emitter, and arsenic, and cadmium, and nickel. It is a lethal product, and it contains high levels of nicotine.
So we have many youngsters listening. We have many parents listening. A message from you as someone who has invested, obviously, a lot of time, your profession. Companies don't hand over $5 million if they think they did something right.
Right. Here's the message I think that people need to hear.
All right, I'm going to give you a chance to finish because I'm looking at the clock here, but I think it's important to get the message out. First, here's Gary Nippler Driving School, Roadwatch 600 update. Well, we're talking about the issue, first off, I believe, personal choice. And you make those personal choices based on information from groups, organizations, government agencies that you trust to provide the best information available so that you can make an informed decision. But one of the things we're hearing is, first off, the tobacco industry is marketing a product called Spit Tobacco, targeting youngsters. We have an attorney here with us from Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. Who has just settled a case of a man who started using what's called now spit tobacco when he was about 13 years old. He died at age 42 years old from mouth tongue cancer, and it was attributed to the use of this product. And he leaves behind two children and a widow. And attorney, just in a couple of minutes I have left, this is one of those, what they call, I guess, and oftentimes we hear this, and it's significant when we hear it, a test case, because now there is evidence that connects this product to possible harm, certainly in the case of Bobby Hill. But you're also telling me that during the break, you were telling me that there are hearings underway, the FDA, because now tobacco is under their control, so to speak, and they can determine whether or not it's harmful, to what degree, whether or not it should be pulled from the market. But the tobacco industry is now attempting to get cover, if you will, from the FDA, saying that this spit tobacco is an alternative, not as harmful as tobacco products that most of us would accept as cigarettes. But again, it's being targeted for children, and that's kind of their focus, isn't it? If they can get the FDA to say it's less harmful, it would probably give them more authority, if you will, to target any age group, but particularly it seems that they've latched onto these youngsters.
I think that's right. I mean, your listeners should know that the tobacco industry doesn't admit that it targets children. The evidence in the case showed that they make lower nicotine candy flavored products that, according to its own marketing strategies, are designed for young users, for children who then get ratcheted up through a graduating, more addictive product category.
So it's almost like breakfast cereal or bubble gum, right? I mean, to them, it's a product that they profit from by selling, and there's nothing wrong with that. Bubble gum hasn't been determined to be cancer-laden.
Right. There's a couple. One thing that's, I think there's two things that are significant about this lawsuit. The first is that it's the first wrongful death settlement that's ever been paid in the chewing tobacco industry. So it's significant for that reason. Anytime that there's a first of a kind, when an industry like the tobacco industry that never settles cases, never pays money, never admits responsibility, never admits guilt, and never tells the honest truth about what it's doing, that's significant. But it's even more significant because it comes at a time right now when the industry realizes that people understand the health hazards of cigarettes. So as a percentage of consumers in the country, cigarette use is going down. There's still 50 million people that smoke cigarettes, but it's a smaller and smaller percentage of the population. And so the American tobacco industry realized that smokeless tobacco, spit tobacco, chewing tobacco is the next wave of tobacco consuming in this country. And so that's why Altria, that also owns Philip Morris, that makes Marlboro cigarettes, just bought the U.S. Smokeless Tobacco Company.
And weren't they also part of Kraft Foods somewhere along the line?
Yeah, Kraft is also owned by Altria.
Okay, so they make mayonnaise and they make spit tobacco.
Correct.
At different places, I hope.
Me too.
Yeah, we don't want somebody to push the wrong button. And you know. In closing, what would you like to share with our listeners, parents, youngsters, about this settlement and the significance of it as other countries look to this decision to formulate what they're going to do about this?
Two things, really. One is that children should know this. Parents should know this. Anyone who is considering using smokeless tobacco should know that it contains high levels of nicotine, that it is more addictive per dose than cigarettes, and that if you use it, you will become addicted to it. So they should know that with no uncertainty. Secondly, if you use smokeless tobacco and become addicted to it, you are increasing your risk of getting disease and of dying. And of dying a really gruesome death from mouth cancer, tongue cancer, which was described by one of my experts as death by autopsy, meaning you lose pieces of your mouth and your face until you finally die. And it is a very, very ugly and painful way to go. And so people who want to use this product, whether you're an adult or a child, you need to know what the consequences are. And if you're an adult and you make that decision, then you can do that. But go in with your eyes open and have them opened because of this lawsuit and because of the evidence that we've ungathered, not because of what the tobacco industry is telling you.
If they had a label on it that said harmful, could cause mouth cancer, tongue cancer, lip cancer, any kind of cancer, you'd say, well, gee, I don't know. I don't think I want to make that decision. But if you want to take a chance and gamble, that's up to you. But in absence of that advice from an agency, government agency, FDA, that you would accept as a fact, in absence of that information, you can't make an informed decision. And I think that's the focus, if I understand it correctly, where this whole thing is going.
And you can't make one if you're a child.
This is true. And oftentimes mom and dad have to help youngsters make that, as exemplified by this youngster who his parents actually suggested, from what you're telling me, the evidence you submitted to court, that they thought this was a good alternative. Attorney, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
With Koskoff and Beter here on WICC, and more information on that can be had through their website as well. Let's get your Gary Nepler Driving School Road Watch 600 update.